upon
your tent, whatever light I see, still 'tis God's hands that leadeth me.
And when my task on earth is done, when by thy grace the victory is won,
shed for me way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will
that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose
its power, for it reaches,
for it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. Oh yes, the blood that gives me strength
from day
to day. It will never lose.
It will never lose.
It will never lose.
It will never lose.
It will never.
Says when it comes time to die, because you will stop, your heart will stop, and we go like this. You know, my neighbor, man, I'm not as bad as him. I read about what, I mean, just open the windows in the summertime. You can hear what's going on. I'm not that bad. We start comparing ourselves, right? And then we'll think, just turn on the news and you go, man, I'm not a bad woman. I'm not that bad, at least, because you should see the things that are going on in the news. We start comparing ourselves, and then you think, okay, someday I'm going to stand before the Lord, and I guarantee you, you will stand before a living God. And you're thinking, well, he's going to take out his scale, and he's going to look at my life, and I'll go, well, listen, God, you know, I didn't do that bad a job. And you think God's going to go, well, Dee, gee, you've kind of tipped the scale. Come on in. You think that's what's going to happen? But people think that because they, well, I'm not so bad because you know what they're doing. And we think that, listen, if you get to heaven by any other way than a Savior, well, first off, you're not getting to heaven. By the way, you're lost. That's the truth of it. And it's, you know, when they say the truth hurts, today I hope it hurts. Because I pray that today is not just a holiday. Today is the day that you look at a cross, a burial, and a resurrection, and you make a choice not to reject. So I hope it hurts a little bit. So say ouch. All right. And guys, I'm a pastor, and I love church. I there isn't a day that I drag myself in here. I have coffee. But I'm for the most part, I'm loving it. And, you know, the interesting thing is, you can stand before the Lord someday, you will, and you can tell him what church you belong to. I belong to the first church, the middle church, the last church. I belong to the church that my great-grandpappy started, and all my aunts and all my cousins go there. And you know what he's going to say? I don't really care. I don't care what church you go to. All right? But he doesn't care because he didn't die for church. Now, don't stop coming. But listen, Jesus didn't die for church. He died for people. He died for you and me. All right? Carol, can you put that quote from Billy Graham? I just have fun some days reading this stuff. I didn't even Google this. I had this in a real old-fashioned book. Okay? Billy Graham said, thank you. In the cross, I see three things. First, a description of the depth of man's sin. Second, the overwhelming love of God. And third, the only way of salvation. So Billy Graham's saying, listen, man's sin needed a redeemer. That's what the cross is all about. Man's sin needed a redeemer. Okay? And it cost. The cost wasn't cheap. The cost was the blood and the death of Jesus. So it cost God big time, right? And, you know, this cross also reveals how big God's love is for you. The cross tells you, you should look at that cross and you should say, that's how valuable you are that he would put his son on a cross. That's what the cross reveals. And lastly, oh man, sorry, no apologies. The cross also says there's only one way to the Father. There's only one way, and it's Jesus. And, you know, sometimes we say, well, I don't get it. Can't you pick another way? No. And why do you have to have one way? Well, listen, no one, because the reason why there's only one way, the reason why there's only one way, everybody say that, one way, is because no one could pay the debt that was due. That is the why. So Jesus suffered and he died on a cross. And you listen, he died a criminal death. Matter of fact, they had some criminals on the right and the left of him. But was he the criminal? Listen, and he was executed as a criminal and he died. But he died in my place. He died in your place, right? So then they go put him in a grave. And listen, Satan at that point was doing the cha-cha dance. Yahoo! He thought it was over. He thought this was great. That's how Satan was looking at that day. But listen, there was a resurrection. Amen. There was a resurrection, guy. And you know, there's only one resurrection, praise God. And you know, when Jesus was resurrected and he was made alive, We were resurrected. We were made alive because of that cross and that resurrection. That's what Easter's about. That's Resurrection Sunday. And it's an amazing story, don't you agree? It's an amazing story. And I love Easter baskets, and I love candy, and I bite the ear off the top of my chocolate bunny first. Okay? They had a poll on how many percentage of people bite the bunny's ear first, the feet, or the tail. I am the majority. But listen, that's not what the resurrection's about. All right? It's an incredible story. And it's so interesting is this story started, the story of resurrection didn't start on Easter Sunday. The story started in the beginning, Genesis chapter 3, chapter 1, 2, and 3. The story started in the beginning because man fell, right? That's when this resurrection story started. And man fell, Adam and Eve disobeyed God. I love the translation that said they committed high treason against God. Against God who created an earth for them, gave them everything, and they did this against God. So that's what happened. And because they committed that high treason, they were spiritually, they became dead. Spiritually, death entered. Death by sin entered. That's what the Bible says. Death by sin entered. And they were made spiritually dead, which simply means, not simply, big time means they were separated from God. Wow. So this story, and you know, it's really interesting. Turn over to Genesis chapter 3. Right when that happens, guess who the first promise was made to? Some preacher said this to me, and I said, Jesus! And then, no. The first promise that God ever made was not to man. The first promise God made was to Satan. So Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Your head's still on, everybody? Okay. This is God speaking to Satan. This is a proclamation, baby. This is, thus saith the Lord. And the Lord said, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. And he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Another translation says, I will set a feud. I like them. Those fighting words. There's a feud going on. I will set a feud between you and the woman, between her seed and yours. And he shall bruise you and remove your authority, and you shall bruise his heel. You know what's God saying? God made a proclamation to Satan that day. And he said, listen, there is a woman that will bear a son, a seed, and he will take back the authority that Adam, because of his disobeying, gave, just plopped it in Satan's lap. Actually, Adam forfeited his authority to Satan. And this scripture, though, says, I will set a feud between you and the woman, between her seed and yours, and he shall bruise your head and remove your authority. Hallelujah. You know who that offspring was coming? Jesus. All right? Now, immediately, next verse, you know what Satan's doing? He is scrambling, and he's got a plan. His M.O., modus operandi, is that he was going to go and try to kill every righteous born. Every righteous man born he was out to kill. That was his plan, immediately. God says, thus saith God, there's a woman coming, and she's going to bear a son, and this seed's going to defeat you and take back. Right away, Satan's got a plan. And it started from Genesis chapter 3, okay? And it's real interesting. If you were to study, and we could go 2 hours just studying all the different people in the Bible, the righteous ones that Satan would inspire to kill. And it starts in chapter 4 of Genesis. Satan inspired Cain and Abel. Well, excuse me, Cain, not Abel. Satan inspired Cain to kill Abel right away, trying to kill the righteous. And then we've got Moses. I mean, there's a whole bunch in between, but you got Moses, and God had selected Moses to be a redeemer, to get his children out of slavery and bondage. God has selected a righteous one. And you know what Satan did? Satan again inspired Pharaoh to kill all the Israelite children and Moses' children born. He slaughtered them. okay? But God always wins. God had a plan, and Moses was escaped, and Moses became the Redeemer, right? So Satan uses men, he inspires men to do his dirty work, and he inspired men right down to Jesus. And Jesus shows up on the scene, New Testament, Matthew chapter 1. Jesus shows up on the scene, and again, Satan inspires a man, Herod, right, to kill all baby boys 2 and under, and he scours the land, and he kills them. Horrible. But Jesus, but the Holy Spirit, God, spoke to Joseph, his father, in a dream at night, and he said, Joseph, wake up, take the baby, and I want you to escape to Egypt. And he did, and they escaped. But listen, there was Satan, right, inspiring men to kill the promise. And you know, if you look at Jesus's life, Satan inspired men time after time, especially religious men, to try to kill Jesus. It's quite interesting. It wasn't the lunatics mostly that were after Jesus. It was religious men, and they were trying to kill him, right? And finally, Satan inspires all the religious and the politics, and they hang Jesus on a cross, right? Finally, he hangs on a cross, and Satan thinks, man, I have won. My M.O. is finally complete. They've hung him on a cross. They, the Redeemer, Jesus the Redeemer, Satan thought that he'd gotten him dead, killed him, all right? And now it's real interesting. Prior to Jesus hanging on the cross, Satan was just like blindfold, trying to sniff out, oh my gosh, it smells like a redeemer, and he'd go kill him. He didn't know who the redeemer was up until that point. And the point was when God actually vocally, which I want to go, some of these days, and I know, you know, I say, one of these days I have a few questions I want to ask God. All right, but the problem, the good part is when you get there, you'll already have your answers, and it'll just be a dumb question, so I'll keep my mouth shut. But one of those questions I was thinking of, what were you thinking? Here's the devil, Satan. He just knows that a woman will have a seed, and it'll take back, and you don't know who it is. And then God, what were you thinking that you pronounce, this is my beloved son, the one. Listen to him. I was like, why did you do that? Shh. All right, turn over to John so you don't think I'm making this up. John chapter 1. You see that when Jesus was revealed in his ministry at about 30 of age, right? And he's at the River Jordan, that's where this happened, and he's being baptized by John. The interesting thing is, he was not revealed as a conquering king. He didn't hand out his, the conquering king. No, he was revealed as the Lamb. John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold the Lamb. not just the bat Lamb, okay? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That's when God's voice, audible voice from heaven comes out. And Satan knows, ooh, this is the one. Now, when you and I read this, if you're not an Old Testament person, you're going, bah, bah, lamb. What do you mean lamb of God? So you have to go back to the Old Testament to get the full meaning of this. And in the Old Testament, God had priests that would make sacrifice for people's sins. And then they had the high priest. And on the great day of atonement, the high priest would find a lamb that was without spot, blemish, perfect, okay? Couldn't have a crooked tail, all right? It had to be perfect. And they'd get this perfect lamb, and he'd kill it. He'd take the blood into the Holy of Holies, and he'd present it to God. And it all symbolized that our sins would be covered, their sins would be covered or atoned. All right, that's what that was all about. All right, but that's the lambs, bat lambs. But listen, there was coming a time there would be no more lambs. It would be a person. and his name would be Jesus, and he would be the spotless, unblemished lamb, right? And he would be God in the flesh on the earth, born of a woman. The Bible says born of a woman. The Bible calls Jesus also the last Adam. That's who was coming. So I say the last Adam. Who the heck was the first Adam? The first Adam was Adam, okay? Not too hard. See, I told you. You're not too, yeah, I'm smart. You're smart. Here we go. But the first Adam, and Eve, well, let's throw her in there too. They sinned, disobeyed God, and sin came into this world, all right? And death by sin. So God would send a person. God would come to this earth, born of a woman, and he'd send a person who would be sinless, who would die for me, who would die for you. And this sinless, like the lamb, without spot, without blemish, would be sinless, but he would take my sin. He'd take the sin of the world also, really, the sin of the world, all right? And he would do it. He would do this by choice. He would do this by choice. He would take the sins of the world, okay? And he'd bear my debt and your debt. And listen, that's that incredible story of redemption. It says Jesus comes to this earth and he says, you are so precious that I will take this disgust, this sin, and I will bear it, and you will be free and you will be alive. That's what Easter's about. That's what the resurrection's about. But the problem is, most of us, if we just focus on the holiday, how many of you glad you had day off? How many had off Good Friday? Oh, wow. You know, sometimes we just focus on that, and that would be a real shame that we would focus on that and reject a Savior. And there's so many people that focus on that, the holiday, the dress, the food, and they reject a Savior. And I want us to understand that's not where we're going. Well, you could go, but I'm not going, okay? And you know, it's real interesting. I love church. I love being a pastor. But Jesus didn't die for this church. He didn't die so that you could come to church, sing three hymns or two fast songs what do we usually do? Two slow songs and two fast. He didn't come for that. He didn't come for a message, and he didn't come for you to go home. Jesus came to show up for your life, to take your sins. That's why he came. That's it. So simple. The gospel's not hard, guys. It's real funny. Years ago, gosh, can't believe I said that. Years ago, back in whatever. Joy, I think, was in her first year of college, and we needed to get her a car. And we looked high and low for a cheap, good car. Notice, cheap, good car. So a friend of ours was selling their mother's car. You know those grandma cars? They sit in a garage. They may be old, but they got no miles on. We bought this thing with 21,000 miles, and it was like 10 years old. It was pristine. Now, the only problem is it looked like a shrunken minivan. This little shrunken thing. Not a minivan, but a shrunken minivan. And to most kids, that's not cool. But we said, hey, cool is X amount of dollars. So we bought this car. And where I'm going with this is the car was made for Jeeps. It was made by Mitsubishi. How do you say that word? I say that wrong. Mitsubishi. No, I'm never going to own one of those because I can't say that word. It was made by them, the engine and all the stuff, and it was called an Eagle Summit. But it was made for Jeep. So Jack and Joy, she's like, you got to be kidding, Dad. I can't believe I'm going to buy this car. You're going to buy me this car? Yes, you're going to buy me that car, and you're going to pay me back someday. So we buy this car, and you know what she did? She and Jack, they bought one of those little, I think they probably got it from your place, little Jeep stickers. You know, that's on the back of your car that identifies it's a Jeep, and they stuck it on the back of the car. So question, is that a Jeep? Can you stand in a garage and be a car? Right. Can you follow the teachings of Jesus and be a Christian? No. That was a good story, wasn't that? I'm still waiting for Joy to pay me my money back. I'm telling you what. Okay. The only way you will come to Jesus and be a Christian is to come to Jesus. There's no other way, right? You can go to church and you can fellowship with a bunch of Christians. But guess what? It's not going to make you a Christian. It's not going to make you have a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not going to give you that day when you stand before him where he says, come on in. It's not going to work. But please come to church. We'll get you. All right? So the second thing I want to talk about is that Jesus gave his life. Jesus gave his life. And he gave his life. How many of you remember in the story, it's the Last Supper. They finish, they sing a hymn, and they go to a garden, the Garden of Gethsemane, right? They go to this garden, and he's not yet been arrested, and Jesus goes there to pray with his disciples. And what's happened 2 seconds before, or whatever, is Judas has betrayed him, and he has rallied the religious leaders and the government leaders here, and they get together. The researchers say between 300 and 600 men. They gather 300 Roman soldiers and temple police, between 300 and 600 guys, to go after one guy. Talk about crazy. Okay, and this is in the middle of the night or at nighttime, so they have torches, all right? 300 to 600, so let's just say 500 guys, so I don't have to keep saying that, all right? 500 guys, 500 trained guys with torches, okay, come up. I'm going to call it a mountain because I forgot where this garden is, okay? Now, they are not tiptoeing through the tulips. They are not trying to sneak attack. They are marching up, right? They are marching up, and they're making a racket, and they're coming up there, and Peter sees them. I love Peter. I look really good next to Peter. You know that comparison? I do not do half the dumb things he does. So Peter sees this, hears this, 500 guys coming up, surrounding him, and he pulls out a sword, and he goes and chops off not any old person's ear, the high priest, who, by the way, is a pain in the butt the whole time, the high priest's servant's ear. So the high priest wasn't there, and he thought, well, all right, you hanging with each other? I'm going for you. And he chops his ear off. Now, you must understand that he didn't decide, well, should I go for the right ear, the left ear? Should I take a pinky off today? No. You know what he was really doing? He was going to chop the guy's head off. That was his real purpose, to chop his head off. He wasn't going for an ear. Come off it. This is Peter. Come on. Okay, so question. Why would Peter do that? Well, we probably have our own list of crazy Peter. But really, because Peter walked with Jesus for 3.5 years, because Peter walked on the water with Jesus, because Peter was with Jesus when he raised the dead, when blind eyes were opened, when arms grew out, when he fed thousands, when he, by his word, spoke to the wind and the waves. That's why Peter did that. He's like, man, I'm going to get in on a fight, and we're going to go whoop those boys. And besides, if all he has to do, all Jesus has to do is open his mouth, baby, and you are splat on the wall, because I've seen Jesus. And that's pretty much my interpretation why Peter goes whacking ears off, okay? So, okay, hold on a second. Let me see where I am here. Oh, okay, there we go. So Peter goes whacks the ear off of this guy. And Jesus turns around and goes, Peter, put your sword away. And then, Jesus is Jesus, like always, who does the miraculous and is moved by love. He walks over to that high priest's servant, and he lays hands on him and prays, and bam, he's got an ear back on. You know, I was thinking, sometimes you have these silly thoughts like, I wonder if he went looking through the dirt to pick up the ear. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, I found it. I don't know. Cashman version is, he just grabbed that man and prayed for him in the ear. Bam. Okay. Those are one of those things you want to ask when you get in heaven. When you get to heaven, you're going to go, that was the dumbest thing I ever asked, okay? All right, so turn over to John 18. Hey, that's my version of it. John 18, starting at verses 4, 5, and 6. So my question one is, what were you thinking if you were in that crowd and you came to arrest Jesus? What were you thinking if you were 500 of those guys with your torches, well-trained, well-prepared? What were you thinking when you came to that garden? Okay, here's your answer. John chapter 18, verses 4 through 6. And Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward. Oh, that's a good word. Went forward and said to them, "Who are you seeking?" And they answered, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus said to them, "I am he." And Jesus, who betrayed him, also stood with him. Let me just say this. Underline those two words, "I am." Underline those two words, "I am." Jesus said, "I am he." Now, for me, I'm just thinking, well, that's like my basic second grade English class. I am, all right? No. Remember Moses? God had selected Moses to redeem his people, and God gave him the plan how it was going to go about, you know, go to Pharaoh. And after God downloads all these directions to Moses, and he says, "Now I want you to go to Pharaoh," and Moses turns around and goes, "Hey, God, who do I say sent me? Who do I say to Pharaoh?" Sort of like saying, "Do you have any of those calling cards I can say, okay?" And God goes, "You tell him the I am sent you. The I am sent you." And Moses goes, "The I am?" And God's going, "Moses, just go. Go tell him the I am." All right, now back to John. Jesus says, "I am he." And the power of God, what happens to those soldiers? Knocks them to the ground. The power of God shows up to knock them to the ground. So what are you thinking when you're laying, looking at the night stars with your sword and your clubs and you're the top of the Roman soldiers? What are you thinking? And then you pick yourself up. Verse 7 says, they pick themselves up and they go to Jesus and they ask the same question. And Jesus says, "Well, who are you looking for?" And they go, "Jesus of Nazareth." Now, right then, I'm thinking I would probably be taking a few steps backwards after that first smash on the ground. All right? And he says again, "I am he." And he willingly, they bind him. Now listen, he just smashed him to the ground, but he willingly gave his life, and they bound him and they arrested him, and then they crucified him. So, did they take his life? They didn't take his life, man. They would have been splat on the wall. But Jesus willingly died on a cross. Matter of fact, he willingly stretched out his hands for them to nail him to a cross, right? He willingly did that for you and I. So that we could have life, life eternal, and life and a darn good life here. That is what Jesus gave his life. Okay? Now, so interesting. Can you imagine laying there looking at the stars going, "What happened?" So Jesus chose to go with them. And a few chapters later, he stands before Pilate. And all these guys are yelling and screaming accusations against Jesus. And Pilate says, "I find this man innocent." But listen, what he really said is, "I find the Lamb innocent, without spot, without blemish." And he washes his hands of that, okay? And then, you know, Jesus hangs on a cross. And he's hanging on a cross. All hell is thinking, "Wow, this is the greatest day." And Satan's going, "Man, I finally have completed. I've won. And 3 days have passed since he's hung on the cross, since Satan's just going backflips and dancing and singing, I've won. 3 days have passed. The disciples are in fear. They're hiding out. They're dejected. They're depressed. They're just pitiful. And then we have a resurrection. And then Jesus is resurrected. And then God, by the power of God, takes him out of the grave. And that's called the resurrection. And the resurrection is because God so loved you that you could not pay this debt that was held against you. Jesus loved you that he would willingly, the last time he said, it's me, take me. He willingly did this. And he said he knew the death he was going to go before. All right? So when the resurrection occurred, Jesus not only paid our debt for our sins and came to give us life, but death no longer had power over us. Death no longer had power over us. Death no longer had power over Jesus. Death no longer has power over us. And death meaning I am no longer separated from God. That's what that death was. It's not just stop breathing. Death is spiritually separated from God. So no longer, that's what happened that day. Man, it's just so cool. And that's why it ticks me off when someone says, oh, Jesus, he's such a good teacher. I like his teaching. No, guys, there is the only reason why you have teaching is the only reason is because he hung on a cross for you and he paid a debt that you couldn't pay and he rose the dead and he just defeated the devil royally. That's what Jesus is about, not, oh, I like his teachings. I like his teachings, you know. So listen, there had to be a payment for my sin, for your sin, the sins of the world, and there was no other way. The Bible says, had there been any other way, it would be futile. So there's no other way. You can't go to church your whole life. You can't build a church. you can't just read all the teachings and try to follow them. You can't be baptized. You can't. There's no other way to the Father except for by the cross through Jesus. So when the Bible says, you know, many men have tried to save themselves, but it's been futile. It is. It just doesn't work. So the only way is to accept a Savior who rose from the dead, and you bow your knee and you say, I receive you. I receive this life that you paid for me, that you gave me. That's Christianity. And I'm telling you, it all hinges on a resurrection. Otherwise, let's just go ham, have ham. Let's go have ham, whatever. Okay. And listen, I know that I've been redeemed. I know that my sins, when I was lost and I was a mess and I was full of sin, I know that someone loved me, that he died for me and he died for you and he paid a price so that you could live a life. I know that. I know that. Okay, one more scripture as we close because this is a goodie, okay? And you know, I want to get more into you. 1 Peter chapter 18. No, there is no 18. 1 Peter chapter 1. Just checking. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. All right? Jesus loves you guys, but you have to come to him. Jesus died and he rose again, but you have to come to him. 1 Peter 1, 18. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by the traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Guys, you didn't come cheap. You didn't come cheap. It cost God not silver and gold. It cost him his son. And you were so precious. You were so valuable that he would send his son to die, to be born of a virgin, and then to die on a cross. That's how precious you are to you. So, question for today is, what would you do with Jesus? Now, I didn't say, what were you going to do with religion, but what would you do with Jesus? All right? Can I read, Carol, can you put that quote up from Martin Luther? You know, there's been guys and gals for centuries who have understood the resurrection. He's understood the cross. And this is Martin Luther, and he wrote this in 1530. And I thought, I can't say it any better. In 1530, he wrote this. Either sin is with you, lying on your shoulders, or sin is on Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Now, if sin is lying on your back, you are lost. But if it is resting on Christ, you are free. Hallelujah. And you are saved. And then this is the question that I asked, that Martin Luther asked. Now, choose Now choose. Now choose what you want. So the question is, do you want this free gift or do you want to reject it? Do you want to receive your debt that's been paid or will you reject it? All right. So I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads, close your eyes. And because this is what church is about. I want to be certain that every person in this place doesn't just celebrate Easter. All right. I want to be certain that you don't reject a Savior. And you know, Jesus said, you are either with me or you're against me. There's, again, no middle ground. And I would like you to have an opportunity to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But it'll take you to make a decision. It's decision time. Who will you choose? It's a decision. Will you accept a gift? He's called the greatest gift. Will you accept it, receive it, or reject it? Will you go try to get there by your own righteousness and all your good works? Or will you receive Jesus? Jesus came down from earth, came down from heaven for earth. And he came for a place that he created, and yet men rejected him. And he came here because he loved you, and he gave everything for you. So with everybody's head bowed, eyes closed, I just want to ask you, what would you choose? What would you choose? Today, if you're here and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, and you'd say, hey, Pastor D, I want to choose Jesus. Would you pray for me? I want this Jesus who loved me when I have been just not so good. Matter of fact, I'm a sinner. I want this Jesus. Is there anybody here? You just raise your hand. And listen, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to do anything, but you have to make a choice. Jesus said he forces himself on no man. You have to choose to receive him. So is there anybody here today? You've never received Jesus, and you can just feel, I know we're not led by feelings, but you can just feel in your heart that pulling on your heart. And that's the Holy Spirit. He says he draws all men to him. Is there anybody here? You'd say, Pastor D, I want this Jesus. Is there anybody here? You just raise your hand. Anybody here say, Jesus, the Son of God who hung on a cross and died for me, would give me a new life? I want that. I want all of that. Is there anybody? Okay. Now, is there anybody here? You did that a long time ago, but you have just put God on a shelf. The world likes to say, oh, you backslidden. You know, you actually, what happened is you hit that slide. You tried climbing up and you hit that slide. And you've just kind of put God on a shelf. Yeah, you asked him in your life, but your life is not like it's supposed to be. Now, I don't mean that you missed church. I mean, you've put Jesus on a shelf. And you'd say, Pastor D, I want to take him off the shelf. I want to walk with him. Is there anybody here? You'd say, Pastor D, I'm ready to really get my life back where it's supposed to be. Okay, I see that hand. You can put that down. I see that hand. Yep. Okay. Now, all of that is a decision. And it's real simple, that one. That's also simple. You just simply say, Father God, I've sinned. I've not made you, let you, better yet, I've not let you lead my life. And I confess that as sin. And I thank you that you have washed me again and again. And I stand before you now, clean, holy, pure. And I'm a child of God. I'm righteous again. I've been made whole. And Jesus is my Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you. You know, I think that's, you know, if I were to have given my life on Easter Sunday, I would have thought, man, top dog. This is the best day going. Number one, I'll never forget what day it was. All right. I'm going to give you something. I have a couple of them. My ushers are in the back. These were given to me by a dear friend of mine. They're a penny. And they're a penny, and they have a cross cut out. And it says, a sense. Do you have any sense to follow Jesus? Because there was one cent for you. And if you are one of those that you rededicated your life today, you take one of those and you put it on your keychain. Because listen, most of us, we don't go anywhere without our keychain. I would say tape it to your cell phone, but you take that. And the rest of you, take one of these, because this is what YCF is about. We bumped.